tonight humbly, and we pray that you would look with favor upon our nation, look with favor upon those who are in harm's way, look with favor upon those who are traveling.
Bless all those who are serving and protecting and helping in the relief efforts throughout the country. Heavenly Father, we beg you for your grace, we beg you for your mercy, we beg you for your guidance and protection. Teach us to know that you are in complete control of all things. Teach us to fear, love, and trust in you above all things. And Heavenly Father, being reminded of your mighty care, being reminded of your mighty deliverance through Jesus, teach us each and every day to stand in wonder and awe of you. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name of the Savior, of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Hymn 849.
Thank you. turn to the words of our introit as printed on our bulletin insert. We sing them together. Off its hymn 545, you may be seated.
from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Mark, chapter 7. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I may walk in your truth.
Lord,
Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening is from the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 29, the last verses of that chapter, especially the last two. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding. And those who murmur will accept instruction. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you may have noticed, but on the flag for the country Lebanon, there is an unusual symbol. It's a cedar tree. A great, big, sole cedar tree. In the Bible, the cedars of Lebanon are a major and amazing thing. In an area where trees, especially large trees, are at a minimum, the country of Lebanon was covered with cedar trees. The cedars of Lebanon were used for thousands of years. The children of Israel used them in the building of the temple. Just about every major country and major power in the history of the world used the cedars of Lebanon in their building constructions. The Phoenicians, the Babylonians, the Persians, even England during World War I. They all used the cedars of Lebanon. It was a big deal. Here God says in our text that things will be turned a little bit upside down. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? Lebanon turned into a fruitful field. People would stand in awe at the massive trees throughout the country. Lebanon would be farm ground. It would take hundreds, thousands of years to chop down all these trees and get rid of all the stumps. If you go to Lebanon today, there's only one place where you can see the cedars of Lebanon. It's called the Cedars of God. It's a tiny little forest, almost like a museum. People go there and they stand in awe of what it once was. A whole country covered with trees. But now, Lebanon has been turned into a field. Standing in awe of God. It's not something that we do very often, is it? We take God for granted. Oh, sure, we might pray out to God when there's a natural disaster or two or three or four going on in our country and around the world. But for the most part, the gifts of God, the fact that He made us, that He gives us air to breathe and sun to shine on us, rain to come down, food for our bellies. We take these things for granted, and rarely do we think of God or give God credit. Certainly, we don't stand in awe of God. Nothing new under the sun. The children of Israel who had witnessed the mighty hand of God, the mighty deliverance of God firsthand, soon grew apathetic in their worship. They started intermingling the gods of the people that were around them with the worship of the one true God. They were going through the motions, much like we do today. And God was not happy. The God who is the creator of the universe, the God who put the stars in place, the God who demands our awe and our reverence, He saw the lackadaisical attitude of the people of God. And His anger burned. In the words, just a few verses before our text begins, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the discernment of the discerning men shall be hidden." Isaiah chapter 29, God promises that the people of God will be punished for their lackadaisical attitude, for simply going through the motions. Oh yeah, they'd go to church, but they were thinking about the roast in the oven or kickoff time rather than hearing the Word of God and receiving the gifts of God. We're a lot like them, aren't we? We go through the motions. We show up once in a while. We pay a little bit of attention, but we really can't wait to get back to see what's going on in the world. God's anger was real. And He promised there would be real devastation, real punishment for their sin. But then He promised deliverance, that He would do a wonderful thing. In 701 BC, the world power were the Assyrians. And the Assyrians moved out in a total plan of world conquest. They captured nation after nation, people after people. They went and destroyed the northern kingdom, the upper 10 tribes. And when they had accomplished that feat, they set their sights on Jerusalem. Judgment day is coming, and right soon. The Assyrian army surrounded Jerusalem. The people, all the way from the top down, shook in their boots. There was no hope. There was no way that God would deliver them. But God made a promise. And as God always does, He keeps His word. He keeps His promises. When the people went to bed that night, they thought the next day would be their last. But instead, God sent an angel, just one angel. And that one angel killed 185,000 of Sennacherib's men. One angel, one night. The people woke up, dead bodies everywhere. The remaining army had run for cover. And the people stood in awe of the mighty hand and power and deliverance of God. We too are surrounded, not by Assyrians. We're surrounded by very, very real enemies. Enemies that want to attack us, enemies that want to drag us, body and soul, to hell. The devil, who is real, who roams around like a roaring lion, tricking, deceiving, seeking whom he can fool and devour. The world around us, with its message of peace, peace, where there is no peace. A message of there is no God. You are your own God. That old Adam, that old Eve, the sinful flesh that lives inside of us, that is constantly at war with the new creation that God has made. The devil, the world, and our flesh surround us. So what does God do? God made a promise. And as God always does, He keeps His word. He keeps His promises. Only this time, He didn't send an angel. He sent His Son. He sent His only Son, whom He loves. God in the flesh for you and for your salvation. God in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. God in the flesh, placing Himself under the holy law that condemns us. Only Jesus fulfilled it. God in the flesh, who never sinned, not once, and took every one of our sins, every one of our false idols and false gods, every time when we've been lazy and apathetic with the Word of God, every time when we should have stood in awe of God, but we were more enamored with ourself or our stuff. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He died the death we deserve. As Jesus died on that Friday we call Good, the centurion, after seeing everything that had happened, he stood in awe of God. Surely this man is the Son of God. That awe wasn't it on Good Friday. God had a wonder of wonders to perform 3 days later. The stone cold dead body of Jesus is now alive, never to die again. Jesus living, Jesus dying, Jesus alive, all for you. And what do? Do we stand in awe of God? We could. We should. But all too often we don't. My friends, God has delivered you with the life, death, and resurrection of His own dear Son. He has delivered what people would pay every cent that they have to get. A life that never ends. Eternal life. God has given it to you free. He has given it to you in the waters of holy baptism. He has wrapped you in His righteousness and adopted you into His family. He feeds you with His Word. He feeds you with His Holy Supper. We have been redeemed by the holy, precious, innocent blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And my friends, if that is not worth or worthy of standing in awe, I don't know what is. My friends, Isaiah prophesies that the people who have been lazy and apathetic, the people who have worshipped God in actions but not with heart, the people who were far from God will be brought back. That's us. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. And God says, my people will be reclaimed and they will sanctify my name. Sanctify, holy. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. That's really what we're praying for. That we would sanctify or make holy the name of God. And Luther teaches us in the Catechism that the name of God is certainly holy or sanctified without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that God's name would be holy among us. How is God's name made holy? When His Word is taught in its truth and purity. The law which accuses us and drives us to our knees and calls us to repentance. And the oh-so-sweet gospel that forgives poor, miserable, lazy, apathetic sinners like you and me. How is God's name made holy? When His Word is taught in its truth and purity, and when we, as the people of God, lead holy lives according to it. A holy life that hungers for the Word of God. A holy life that hungers for the body and blood of Jesus. A holy life that longs to hear those sweet words of forgiveness spoken into our ear in the holy absolution. Holy lives that want to be in a Christian fellowship, encouraging, supporting, and praying for one another. Holy lives that stand in awe of God. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our service continues with our canticle. One of the ways that we live holy lives is when we pray, praise, and give thanks. We do that as we sing. Middle of page 231, please stand as you're able.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as heaving sacrifice.
Oh, yes, Lord, we give.
Welcome in the name of our risen and ascended Savior and Lord. Our God truly is an awe-filled and awesome God. Thanks be to Him for His great gifts. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who saves us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning with the Kyrie, page 233. In view of national tragedies, we will be praying the litany after the collect of the day, and that is found on page 288. We stand for the Kyrie. Merciful God, by your gift alone, your faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises, and finally attain your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We turn to the litany, page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, dear Lord.
Be gracious to us,
Help us, dear Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, especially those in the paths of storms, from all calamity by fire, especially those in the paths of fire and water, those in danger of flooding, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living. Especially we pray for Dr. Allman as he considers calls and possibilities of service in the church and providing for his family, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, especially those threatened with natural disasters or those recovering from them, to protect and guide all who travel, especially Pastor Burnt, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, especially pray for Cleo as she recovers from surgery, for all those who are mourning, especially the family of Betty Kieselhorst, taken to yourself this past week, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn 704, you may be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. If you didn't get a chance to see the Good Shepherd news and notes from this last Sunday, they are in the back. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We do have one of our members who's in the midst of doing some fundraising for Crohn's disease research, Disney Turek. He's sitting at a table in the back. If you can help out or have any questions about the fundraiser that he's doing at the zoo, I believe. Yes. Okay. So talk to him. Check it out in the news and notes. And great cause to support. Thanks to everyone who worked so hard and made the ACELC conference such a big success last week. The videos from the conference are up on YouTube and on the ACELC website. We'll try to get a link to our to that from our congregation's website as well. And check them out. It was a great time. Thanks to the radio station for broadcasting those live. We had people all over the country and several folks all over the world that were able to participate through the internet service there. As you heard in the prayers, if you weren't here on Sunday, one of our dear saints here at Good Shepherd, Betty Kieselhorst, was called to her heavenly home on Sunday morning. A finer example of hungering for the Word of God, being in God's house, studying God's Word, a finer example will never be found. And we mourn her loss, and especially for you, Shirley, and the rest of the family. Betty's memorial service will be on Monday the 18th. That's not this Monday, but the next Monday. Monday the 18th at 10:30. And we pray that the good news of the one who rose victorious over death and the grave would fill you, fill your family, and fill us as a congregation during this time of loss. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Pastor, anything else?
We have a youth group paintballing on Saturday. So if you are interested, talk to the Huffs, right? Or the Woods. Or you can talk to me too, but yeah.
Talk to the Huffs, shoot him.
Yes.
Okay. Bicker? Anything? All right. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus. Okay, all right.